It's called On, this is just a teaching called On This Rock. This is Matthew 16, 18. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So the rock here just means literally a rock. Most churches probably have their creed or whatever, things they believe, and they post those things that they believe, so if people come, they know what they believe. Number one thing is that on that list should be the we follow the Spirit. We follow the Spirit. That's our creed. Rock of revelation knowledge. That rock was even present in the Old Testament. The rock is Jesus, and what he says concerning his church goes, period. Okay, Matthew 7. The rock's been around all along. Verse 24 there. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. So Jesus is the rock. Jesus is the cornerstone of his church. And we're going to look at the cornerstone for a minute here. A few scriptures. Romans chapter 9. It says he was a stone of stumbling to the Gentiles. Or to anyone that won't receive him, they stumble over the stumbling stone. Romans 9:30. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles which followed not after righteousness are attained to righteousness, or have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore, because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. For they stumbled at the stumbling stone. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Yeah, many today still follow Jewish customs, even a lot of the church, or some of the church does. Okay, go over now to, this is 1 Corinthians 4. It kind of tells a little of Israel's history. Start right there, verse 4. And did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. This was whenever Moses brought the children of Israel out. This rock followed them. They got water from this rock. I guess it's the same rock that he hit twice instead of once. Didn't get to go in. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. And I'm telling you, sexual sin is the biggie. And I'll elaborate more on that in a minute, or after this. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for examples. They are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he stand take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to men, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Then he goes on to say, wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. Yeah. Sexual sin is one of the, it's just rampant. Like I said, the more the skin, the more the sin. In other words, the less that seems to be worn, the more the sin runs rampant. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men. Judge ye what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the committing of the body of Christ? For we, being many, are one bread and one body. But we are all partakers of that one bread. Behold, Israel after the flesh. Are not they which eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? What say I then, that the idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything? But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils, and not to God. And I will not that ye should have fellowship with devils. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partaker of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? This is all about more than not sexual sin, which is so rampant in our nation today. I mean, we have same-sex marriage. Okay, still have same-sex marriage. We're speaking against it, you know, saying, thank you, Lord, that our leaders hear your voice and make the right choice. Okay, 1 Peter 2. That's 1 Peter 2. Okay. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. You know, I'm amazed. Just, I'm not around a whole lot of people, but most of them are Christians or say they're Christian in some kind of denomination. They don't know the word. None of them. There was one lady that I saw a week or so ago. She does know the word. But everybody else in the room, they don't know the word. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also are lively stones, or built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Spiritual sacrifices. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the same stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. So people stumble all over this gospel. It's awesome that Jesus was present in the Old and the New Testament. He was always been in the middle of what Father was doing, no matter what it was. God is a spirit, that's John 4:24. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. You can't worship him any other way. There's no other way. Okay, let's go over to Acts. Acts 2:4. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. This is what happened after Jesus went back. The day of Pentecost came. Okay, verse 17 and 18 says, "And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams. And all my servants and all my handmaids I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy." So why was the Spirit given? So that we can worship him in spirit and in truth. We don't have a rock behind us following us anymore like they did in the desert. We have the rock is on the inside now. Jesus said, "On this rock will I build my church." This is Isaiah 30:21. Quick at that. Let me find it. "And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk in it. When you turn to the right hand, you turn to the left." We don't have to do that anymore. The rock's not following us anymore. The rock's in us. Okay. John 16:13. "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he shall show ye things to come." So we've got this information inside of us. Matthew 16:18, we read it in the last teaching, but I'm going to read it again. 16:18, I believe we did. Okay, yeah. "And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Gates here mean an entrance. So prevail means overpower. So Satan no longer has entrance because of what's in us. He no longer has entrance. Okay. The curse in the garden, the seed war began, but Galatians 2:13 says we've been redeemed from the curse. And we're going to look at 1 Corinthians 15. We're going to look at verse 50 there. What is in us is eventually going to change us. Right here, let's start with 50. "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. But the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible man must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Looking forward to that day. That's where we're headed. But it says here, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. The last thing Jesus did with his disciples before he went to the cross, he had Holy Communion with them. I kind of see it different, just this, what the Lord showed me here, right here. Holy Communion is all about the end of the seed war, rightly discerning the Lord's body, having a full understanding of what all he did. We take it to mean, yeah, we're remembering he went to the cross, you know, but the focus is always on the cross, and more than not, well, we're going to get healed, you know, because we use communion. But I don't think that's what it's saying. This is what I'm going to read it to you, and you can judge for yourself. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 11. It's about rightly discerning the body. His body, it died on that cross. For this body, the body of Christ, okay? 23 there. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also he took the cup, which he had sup, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the blood, body and blood of the Lord. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. He that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause, this is why we use it for healing. For this, that's what they use it for, but I don't believe that's what it's for. It's about discerning the body. For this cause, many are weak and sickly among you. They're not rightly discerning the Lord's body. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that he come not together unto condemnation, and the rest will I set in order when I come. So what does that mean? Well, I wrote down here 1 John 4:4. Ye are of God, little children, have overcome them, because greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. Isn't this the discernment we need? It's a discernment of the body of Christ, because when the body comes together and begins to do what they're supposed to do, there's no stopping it. Okay. To operate, this is what I wrote down. Isn't that the discernment we need? To operate as the body of Christ in the earth and no longer have divisions through denominational barriers. That's why it made me look at communion differently. It's about discerning the Lord's body. Okay, one more set of scriptures and we'll be done here. 1 Corinthians 12 that I just... I got it right here. starting with 12. For as the body is one, hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, have been all made to drink into one body. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. If they were all one member, where were the body? But now are there many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body. In other words, we move like Jesus Christ in the earth. But that the members should have the same care one for another. Nobody's higher than anybody else. Everyone has a part to play. Everybody is graced to be in their part in the body. And rather one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you, the body of Christ, of members in particular. It's about the revelation of Jesus Christ and his body. That's what communion's all about. Just tell me.
You got a little piece of note paper right there. Is that something you want?
Yes.
Is that separate?
Yes.